to Too Many RPGs, a show about RPG shows. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ethan. This is a show where we talk to creators and fans of actual play podcasts and streams about why they enjoy them. And as has become the new tradition around here, I'm going to ask you a question. And that question is, what is your favorite monster?
Oh gosh, any kind of fish person.
Fish people? Okay.
Yeah.
Like mermaid fish people or like...
Any kind. I have never met a fish person I didn't like.
Okay. What is it about fish people? Like, is it just that they're fish?
I don't know. Honestly, I've thought about this. Like, I think it might be that they're fish.
You just happen to like fish?
Yeah. Like, they're just fish and they're people. Like, I don't eat fish. I'm allergic to them. And I, you know, don't have fish or anything. But, like, there's just something about the combination of fish and human. And I am, like, I mean, mermaids are fun, but I am more partial to, like, the Kuatoa kind of fish person.
You want fish faces.
I don't know. I just like fish people. They're good. Fish people are good.
Okay. Welcome to the show, everybody! Talking about fish people.
Fish people are good. I was about to say, where is the Monster Heart skin for a fish person?
I don't know. I'm sure someone could make one real quick.
Yeah, and the reason I bring up Monster Hearts...
That's what we're talking about today.
It's because that's what we're talking today. We're talking about Monster Hearts 2. We have Katie from Off the Table's Monster Hearts 2 podcast, Tabled Hearts.
Hello!
Hi! I'm Katie, and I'm going to talk about Tabled Hearts.
Welcome! So, tell us, what is Tabled Hearts?
Well, Tabled Hearts is a actual play podcast on Off the Table, and it is using Avery Adler's Monster Hearts 2 system, which is powered by the Apocalypse. So, Monster Hearts is about the messy lives of teenage monsters. It's sort of a risque game that deals with sexuality. Sometimes there are dealings with, you know, coming into who you are as a young adult. In our game, we play as college students. We wanted to age them up a little bit to not specifically have to focus on high school antics.
How much has that changed from the game? Because you've played high school versions as well. Like,
yeah.
Do you find that changes the tone of the game? Or a big thing about the mechanics of Monster Hearts is that you don't always have control over your sexuality and your sexual urges. Do you find that that is still the same in a more college game where people are sometimes more sure of their sexualities? Or is it still very on brand for Monster Hearts?
I think it's very on brand for Monster Hearts. I don't think it changes much at all, because I still think even in college, when you are quote unquote sure of your sexuality, sure of yourself, you're not really sure of who. You're still a kid, you know, in college.
Yeah.
I play a character who is, I think, the oldest one, who's like 21, he's a senior about to graduate, and he's very much not sure of himself. And I like the idea that my character, for instance, is dealing with this like sort of power placed upon him that he doesn't want. So I think it goes hand in hand with dealing with, you know, feelings that you may not want, which is something that Monster Hearts deals with very well.
And I think there's definitely something to be said about a lot of, not everybody's, but a lot of people's college experiences as being kind of an extended adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
And how a lot of people in more developed societies treat and view being a college student as you're not really an adult, even if you're living by yourself and paying your own rent and working and, you know, all of that stuff. You're still a kid. You still don't really know, you know?
Exactly. And in college, at least it was to me, my college experience, it was such a surreal, stepped away experience from the real world. I still had that buffer of my parents being there and even my professors being there and stuff like that. And so having this experience of Monster Hearts, you still have these characters that might feel protected in a way because they also have that buffer. But then you get deeper into the, you know, the mythos that you build in Monster Hearts and you learn that you aren't so protected, which is, it's a good, to me at least, a good allegory of the real world and growing up, which I think that's why I'm drawn to Monster Hearts. I love games about finding out who you are and growing up and such.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the monsters that we get to meet in Tabled Hearts.
Yeah. So I play Lucas. In Monster Hearts, the playbooks are called skins. I use the witch skin. He lives with his sister and his grandmother. They sort of traveled around a lot. They've never been in one place much for longer than a couple of years, but this is the longest place they've been somewhere. And he's dealing with a lot of sort of internal problems. His mother passed away a couple of years back, and he's sort of dealing with the fact that he's a witch and his sister isn't. There's a lot of stuff going on. Then we also have Summer, who plays Dawn. She's a fae, and she is sort of doesn't really recognize these powers that she might or might not have yet. She's still learning, leaning into this experience of why things feel different for her. And then we have Steven, who plays Noah, and he is a werewolf. So I think that's a very good allegory, and, you know, controlling yourself as you grow up and such, because there's a lot of anger that can be played in the werewolf, you know, and there's a lot of ways you can play that character, but the way that Steven's playing him is, you know, the sort of dealing with a little bit of rage inside, and it's very great.
Yeah, I asked him what kind of werewolf he was playing, because when you choose a skin, you get to kind of choose the stats that are true, and he was like, yeah, I'm hot and vicious.
Great. Good job, Steven. Good job. I love it. Can we just take a moment to realize that that's after a year of knowing me, Summer, and Dingo?
Yeah. I also asked him what it was like playing, and he said, well, you know, I wolf out a lot and jump off tall things.
Yeah, if you've listened to a first episode, I believe, maybe second, I can't remember, he jumps off of an RV onto a mattress, and very, very Steven-esque. It was very good. And also attacks my characters in wolf form, so it was also great.
Hmm. Is there a main through line, or is it more like a slice of life sort of game?
For us right now, it is sort of a slice of life type game. There's things that we're all exploring. There is a mystery because there's been a murder. A body's been found in the woods. There's some things that are, you know, happening behind the scenes that we don't know about. But I think we can definitely trust Dingo, our MC, to, you know, build this mystery and give us good things that are happening. But right now, it is very much a slice of life type thing, just with this. The mystery isn't at the forefront, and I really enjoy that. Like, that's something we're gonna solve and figure out, you know, hopefully, anyway. But, I like the fact that it's dealing with their lives, and their lives just happen to be, you know, touched by the supernatural.
I kind of like the idea of games that explore just kind of what it's like to be a normal person, mm-hmm. and not always, you know, because if this was a movie, someone would find a body in the woods and the main character would be like, oh man, we gotta start investigating it, even though I'm not a journalist or a police officer or a detective, because that's the way it works in movies. And it might work that way in like a game that's more focused on making the players heroes of their own story, mm-hmm. but that's not what would happen in real life. Like, if you or I found a body in the woods, we'd be like, oh, okay.
Like, they did find a body in the wolf, in the wolf, in the woods.
And whoa, then, that's a completely different issue.
That is a completely different game. That's a different game. They found a body in the woods, but that night ended up with one of us getting shot, one of us going to jail, one of us running away, and one of us wolfing out. Guess, you know, if you want to take a guess on who did that. But none of us automatically, you know, we have to solve this, because the next day, yeah, it was brought up. It was something that was talked about between the characters, but it wasn't you know, we had other things to do. We're college students and the police are handling this. You know, that's what we were worried about.
Dude, you know how we found that body in the woods? Yeah, but, I mean, we're studying for midterms. Right, we should study for midterms. Those are coming up, huh?
Classes were just starting. We had to worry about what coffee we're... We had a good, like, 10-minute part about what coffee the characters were ordering. That's what's important.
Okay, yeah, so very slice of life.
Very slice of life.
Well, to be fair, I always think about the people at the beginning of crime shows, just like the randoms who discover the bodies in those like 2-minute clips before the title screen. And you never hear about them after. They're not in the show. If you mm-hmm. discover a body, you call the cops. The cops interview you about what's going on. You probably have nothing to do. And then you just go on with your life. You know, you might have to deal with some like psychological stuff about seeing a body.
Yeah.
This is, of course, unless you're in Murder, She Wrote, in which case you are probably in some way attached to the crime, yeah. in every single way.
If you're in an Agatha Christie novel, but yeah. something tells me this is not Agatha Christie Does Monster Hearts.
But God, I want that now.
I kind of want that now.
I want Monster Hearts on the Orient Express now.
Look, I've been spending this entire time thinking about what skin Nancy Drew would be. So
mortal?
I mean, she would be the mortal, probably.
Probably? But then what skin would Ned be?
I mean, Ned would be a fae. He wouldn't
know
it. Yeah,
Ned would be a fae.
Ned would be a fae, and then he wouldn't know it. And now I want to do the Hardy Boys.
The Hardy Boys and, like, Bess and George.
Yes. Oh, my God. I need this now.
Oh, my God. All right.
I need this game. Avery Adler, you're doing Mobster Hearts, right? Yeah. give me Nancy Drew Hearts.
Nancy Drew Hearts. I mean, we should just do a one-shot. We should just do the Nancy Drew one-shot. Could have Trixie Belden, you know, all the...
I love it. I was, like, low-key obsessed with all those Nancy Drew computer games I came out with, you know? So I need this.
I am high-key obsessed with all those Nancy Drew computer games.
So good. And now I'm just thinking of how you can combine Monster Hearts with Monster of the Week in some of these skins and playbooks. I need it all.
I don't... Ooh, that would be a little weird.
I would just think, like, still a couple of moves.
Yeah. Well, there is that one playbook, the Monster Hearts playbook, that's, like, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah.
I think it's called the Chosen One, because there's, like, the Serpentine and the Chosen One that aren't in the actual book, but they're free on Buried Without Ceremony. Yeah, the website. Because, like, they have so much... these heavy connotations that if you're an MC, you have to make sure you can sort of roll with the punches, because both of those playbooks change the game so much.
Yeah. Yeah. The Chosen introduces, like, potentially PvP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, we have to do Nancy Drew Monster Hearts. We have to.
I'm so into it.
You've recorded ahead a little bit. How far are you? You said...
I think we're 8 or 9 episodes recorded, and we have published 5.
What kind of has happened in those 5 episodes besides they found a body and started classes?
Goodness gracious. I mean, that is the good gist of it. Lucas has sort of noticed that... So he has a sister, Livia, who has sort of been acting a little strange, and he's getting a little worried about that. There's been this connection between Lucas and Noah in that Lucas saw this vision, this woman, because he lost his sister's necklace in the woods, and he saw this vision of this woman holding it and finding it and walking off, and... it was the same woman who, in, I believe, episode 1, shot Noah.
Okay.
Some things have happened. I mean, I guess if you sneak up on someone who has a gun, you should probably expect to get shot. This is America. Episode 1, Noah was shot, and they have this connection because they've both cornered this woman in the school hallways. Don't really know who she is. Dawn has seen someone that she doesn't recognize, but she swears that she knows him randomly on the beach. It's very, very weird thing that's happened. I mean, there's a lot of little details that Dingo is putting into our characters and the information that we've given her about their backgrounds and, you know, things we want from our characters that are starting to, like, you can see the threads beginning to form, if that makes sense. Things are sort of starting to heat up, which makes sense about the timeline of Monster Hearts. It takes about a good couple of sessions to really get going.
Yeah.
And we try to put each episode around an hour, you know, because it's a good listening space for someone, you know, just trying to get into a podcast. So it's taken a couple of sessions for things to really start amping up, but, like, things are beginning to. And I think you can tell if you listen to it, there's a lot of tension that's beginning to form.
Yeah.
I like that you said that, but you also mentioned that someone gets shot in the first episode. It's like, the tension's just building. But session 1, someone got shot?
I mean, also, the wolf wolfed out in, like, session 1 or 2, so the tension built, then ramped down, and then is beginning to ramp up again? Does that make...
Okay, so we had a good first episode where, like, there's lots of action and drama, and then we dipped down a little bit so we could start building it again.
Well, there was the pilot episode to get people hooked on on the story and sell it to the producers, and now we're...
It's episode 1 or 2, someone gets shot, you know, you gotta have something to drag them in and keep them, and they want to know what's gonna happen next.
In this case, your producers being Summer.
Yes.
Yes.
or Dingo in this case, because she was the one that her NPC shot Steven's character, so it was all her.
It was all Dingo's fault.
It's always Dingo's fault.
I'm interested to know, were Lucas, Dawn, and Noah friends before the events of the game, or have they all met for the first time?
Lucas and Dawn had known each other from a biology class. We've established that. They weren't exactly friends. Why are you laughing, Ethan?
We knew each other from biology, yeah.
I mean, just a biology class. It's college. You're in, because she's a freshman. You're, you know, you're in college with all kinds of different years. They weren't friends, though. And actually, it's pretty funny, if you know me in Summer's history, that our characters are not involved whatsoever. They just don't, Lucas does not like any. I am playing the worst character. He is an asshole. I'm sorry, I don't want to cuss, but that's the one you'll get. That's one I'll let go. Because it's the accurate description of Lucas. He's horrible. He's very selfish and self-centered. And like, yes, he has sort of a defense mechanism, but it doesn't excuse the way that he treats everybody at all. And then Noah and Lucas, I don't think we really established how they all knew each other. I think we just sort of went off that vague college. You sort of know a lot of people in college, you know, you're going to see each other. We had a smaller university setting. We had this central location called the L, which is a college coffee shop, coffee cafe, library kind of thing. And that's sort of how they know each other.
They're all just kind of regulars.
Yeah.
At the coffee shop.
Yeah.
So how did they all go into the woods together to find a body?
Yeah. I'd like to say that Lucas did not do that, actually. They had nothing to do with this. Katie is the one with any sense in any game. So we have a location in Tabled Hearts called Daisy Row, which is this party location. It's this group of old, broken down. It used to be an RV park, but now the college students go out there and like throw parties inside the RVs. There's like fire barrels everywhere. It's sort of run down and 100% shady. It has a horrible reputation. And in session one, they sort of all were able, that's how they all came together, is they were all at this party. Lucas was sort of conned into giving Noah a ride because of Lucas's little sister. Dawn and her roommate and best friend Julie were going anyway because they're sort of those college party girls. That's sort of their scene, that you're going to see them at every party. And so they decide, Julie is spending her evening flirting with Noah, and they decide to go for a walk, which Dawn tags along with Lucas's ex-girlfriend Shay, who Lucas treated horribly, ghosted, and does not have anything to do with now. It's really, really awkward. And they heard a bang in the forest. It sounded like a gunshot. And of course, those four idiots went toward it. And Lucas just stood there and watched them walk away. Yeah. Why? Why would he go to the bang? There was no reason, no logical reason.
Which is funny because, like, in movies, yes, you always go towards the bang, right? But a real life person, you'd just be like, nah, someone has a gun. I don't have a gun. I don't want to get shot. I'm just going to leave.
If I hear gunshots, I call the police and say, hey, I heard a gunshot.
And then go the other way.
Yeah. Well, not those four. They went toward it. And if I remember correctly, because it's been a while since we've recorded and since I've listened, Lucas ends up getting his sister and driving out to try to find them because he hears another bang, I believe. And this could be 100% wrong, and I'm telling everybody wrong, but that's why you should listen to it. But anyway, long story short, Julie ends up getting snatched away from where the other group is, split from Lucas. And when Lucas goes to find them, he straight up tells them, hey, you can get in the car, I'm gonna leave. And Lucas ends up leaving them, driving away. Just abandoning them on the outskirts of the woods.
Cool dude.
Yeah, he does come back. He does let his guilt eat away at him, and he turns around and comes back, and they find Julie. But they also find some humans with guns and some weird creatures. And, of course, you know, Dawn and Noah. Dawn literally stumbles over a dead body, and Noah gets shot.
Well.
So, I mean, yeah, it was great. It was cool.
Sounds like a good party.
Yeah. That's what happens out at Daisy Row. You don't want to go there.
Tell me a little bit about how this game came together, because that's a very interesting story.
Yeah, it is. So the four of us, me, Summer, Dingo, and Steven, have been playing Burning Wheel on Off the Table since last October. So over a year, which, whoa, that's wild. It just hit me.
Yeah.
That is, woo, really weird.
Yep.
And in March, so Dingo had this big idea in December. It was a big secret. And in January, she announced that she was going to get tickets for her and Summer to come to Alabama and see me and Steven, which was amazing. It was great. And we all got together in this Airbnb for the weekend, and we wanted to play Monster Hearts. Like, that was something we had been playing it off the table. Dingo was an MC, me and Summer played, and we loved it. And we thought it was something that, you know, Steven doesn't ever get a chance to play, and he puts up with our antics all the time in Burning Wheel. Bless that man. Oh, God. And we were like, you know, you need a chance to play and maybe get to be a little dramatic yourself. And as we've seen, he's learned very well. He has learned. But we, that night, I wish it's like an unreleased recording because it did not record well, but I was sick as a dog. I couldn't even talk. I had no voice. Summer and Digo were both drunk, but we built the world of Tallulah Bay in this random Airbnb. And there's just like this long conversation. And I think there's like the one sound file that made it of Summer's character and Dingo's NPC, Dawn and Julie, of them arguing about sweaters and chili dogs. And it is you can just hear me, even though I don't have a voice, you can just hear me cackling in the background because I was losing it. It was the funniest thing in the world. And it took us a while. We had a couple of recording mishaps happen before, but we were finally able to get it all together. And we took the initiative to every other Wednesday, you know, take a night off of stream. That's our recording night. That's what we're dedicated to, you know, unless something comes up. And now we're doing it and we love it. It's a really good thing. And I'm really excited to actually play. I don't know, like, I feel like people probably have this, like, when you have someone who's DM'd or GM'd for you for such a long time, so like Steven for me, it's really fun to actually play with them. You play with them as the GM, you know, but when you get that sort of the moves that you can use with their character and such, I like that aspect. So it's really exciting to actually play with Steven. And also the fact that he keeps putting up with us is, yeah.
I have this theory about Steven. Sorry, what were you gonna say?
No, I think we're about to say the same thing. It's just, I think Steven actually thrives on drama.
Oh, 100%.
I think it powers him. Like, there's this, like, furnace inside of him that's just, like, powered by drama.
Like, I'm playing in a game with him, and it's so much drama. And I think definitely some of it...
He learned from the best.
I think some of it is playing with you, but... Sometimes I'll play with him and I'll be like, this was inside him the whole time.
Truthfully, if you think about the stuff that he's put us through in Burning Wheel, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, he just thrives on drama. He was like, surprise, now there's a demon in our intrigue game. So...
Yeah, don't remind me. Don't remind me. I'm having flashbacks. Oh, it's bad. But no, it. I'm really glad that it came out of that because, like, the Burning Wheel crew is so... close, you know, and a lot of us have taken on a lot more responsibilities. It's like Off the Table has grown and we're doing other shows and stuff, and so we don't get to talk as much as we used to, but we're still, when we're back with each other, you know, playing again, it's like we just pick up where we left off, and it's such a great feeling to have that kind of comfortableness with people like that. Like, when you go, me and Summer went back and watched episode 1 of Burning Wheel a while back, and it was like we had known each other our whole lives, and we were always comfortable with each other. So I think that's very rare to find sometimes, and so it just sort of jumped over to Tabled Hearts, and I think that, you know, you can tell that with our 5-minute goofs about bean pee, so... Yeah.
That's coffee.
That'll probably come up soon. I hope Summer doesn't cut it because it was great.
Oh, she probably won't.
Because you just hear me in the background crying, please stop, please stop.
That is one of the nice things about listening to and watching you guys play is that y'all like each other a lot. You're all really good friends. And there's always like the famous Burning Wheel pre-show. But that's something that I really enjoy about actual play is getting to listen to friends hang out. It's what sets actual play apart from, I think, you know, like a TV show or anything is that y'all are actually friends and you're having a good time together. And that's really compelling to me. So I really like in Tabled Hearts and in Burning Wheel that, yeah, you're just... It's just fun to hang out with you guys. I mean, it's fun to hang out with you guys actually as people, but that's not what we're talking about.
No, I get what you mean. Like, I get what you mean completely, yeah.
Full disclosure, we're all friends.
Yeah. Full disclosure. But no, I get what you mean. Like, it's fun to, like, be brought into that because we're all goofs. We don't take anything seriously. But then when you see us actually take things seriously, you get to see, like, how different that is. And we love it. Like, there's nothing that we love more than, like, hanging out with each other and then hanging out with the Off the Table community and anyone else who watches the show, you know, and listens to the podcast and things like that. We love it. It's great interactivity.
There's always lots of conversation about what's been happening on Tabled Hearts or on Burning Wheel or on any of the shows on Off the Table on the Discord, but it's always fun to, like, I'm not caught up on Tabled Hearts. I only really listen to, like, a bit of the beginning, but the first episode, because too many RPGs.
Exactly.
You know, it's always fun to kind of, like, see in Discord and, like, catch up on the, like, out of context, oh my god, I can't believe Lucas did that moments.
You should always believe that Lucas did that.
The questions we haven't asked: what is a moment that made you laugh? What is a moment that made you cry?
Oh god, the moment that made me laugh was, it is in episode three or four, I can't remember, I want to say three, when Steven introduces himself as Nathan and we just do not let it go. Because Summer just goes, nope, start over, do it again. Because we're like, who is Nathan? Who? And it gets even funnier because I would, in Zoom, which is where we do our main recording, you can change your name. And I would change my name to Nathan. So one time Summer was just talking in character and just called him Nathan as well. And then she's called my character Lucas. So the moments that have made me laugh have been the fact that we just can't keep up with anything. But I haven't had a moment that's made me cry yet, because we are so new into it, you know?
Yeah, I haven't really gotten into the feels.
Yeah, exactly. I do like the moments that pull at my heart, though, are the moments with Lucas and his sister. Dingo's really good at familial relationships, I think. At, like, making you feel like this character really is your little sister or your little brother or your mom or your dad or whatever. And she's really good at, like, taking characteristics that you have as a character and building them into your NPCs that you give her. So, like, she's really made Lucas's sister Livia, like, I care so much about that character, that, you know, random NPC. And the fact that, like, Lucas and Livia right now are at this point where they're at different stages, and because she's 15 and Lucas is much older than her, they're sort of at this crossroads with each other where Livia doesn't have any powers and Lucas does, but Lucas doesn't want his powers. She thinks it makes him closer to their mother, so he should respect those powers, you know, this kind of thing. And it really pulls at my heartstrings that they're fighting. I like that Dingo's able to do that.
A moment that I feel like Lucas might not, or you as Katie might not have a lot of moments that make you cry, because Lucas is such a terrible person.
That's completely valid.
Because I was thinking, you know, Summer was complaining to me about this one time Lucas left Dawn alone on the beach. And so when, yep, you said there wasn't a moment that was making me cry, I was like, I bet I know there's a moment that made Summer cry.
She's just itching for a smooch. And she just, you know how she is. Because Lucas doesn't have anyone in his life at this moment besides Livia that he truly, you know, that's his best friend, even though she's 15 and he's like 21. That's all he's had since his mom's died, is Livia and his grandmother. And that's his little sister. That's who he has left in the world. That's his last really tie to his mom. And that's the only thing that Lucas really cares about right now. So I think that Dingo really, you know, honing in on that is really smart.
I have a question, and let me know if this is a little too personal.
Okay.
You mentioned that you're all friends, and I'm wondering if one of the reasons why you guys are drawn to this game so much is because you guys were only fairly recently friends, and you did not get to share those, like, college life or high school life experiences together, and is this sort of like a way to live through those, like, in a time?
It could be.
I'm not sure how to, like, phrase that question, but...
No, I get it. It's a good question, actually. I really like this question. So I know, like, I enjoyed Monster Hearts when we played the actual play on stream, because I like living that little sort of high school life that I didn't have. That was really cool, you know? So I get that. I definitely can see that, you know, there are moments that we can live out with each other, even through these characters, because we're all really close. We all talk about things, you know, that we don't talk with other people, with each other. So I think that it's really, it is a good way to, even though we are super close, to still get to, we still learn things about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we can learn that through play. And that's, to me, that's for any RPG that I do, though. I love that kind of aspect of any kind of RPG. It's just even more so with the four of us, because, you know, we are so close that we are getting to, like, sort of enjoy these experiences with each other, even though we've included, you know, wolfing out and things like that.
Right, but I mean, even, like, wolfing out, as far as I understand it, Monster Hearts is just a game about, it's all symbolic, right? Like, mm-hmm. Being a werewolf is actually about just being a kid who, you know, was prone to lashing out.
Yeah, maybe a little angry, you know, yeah. Doesn't have a way to deal with it. Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. I think when you get into that kind of depth with this game, and, like, especially with this system, I feel like there's, like, only... the four of us can probably go pretty deep with each other because we're all comfortable with each other. And it's going to help us make our friendship even stronger because of a game like Monster Hearts. I mean, Burning Wheel did it so much. I mean, that's the reason we're all so close as it is. We started that game on a whim. It was something that Steven wanted to run and was interested in having us involved. So that's why we're friends. And doing this, a game like Monster Hearts, that's another sort of narratively driven, deep kind of game. Yeah, I definitely think that it's going to lead to that. Yeah.
That Burning Wheel game is very, which, by the way, if you're listening to this podcast, you can watch that Burning Wheel game on twitch.tv/off_the table. It's not like I say it every week or anything. Yes, twitch.tv/off_the table. It's a very dramatic, intense, epic game. And I think you guys have been through so much together in that game, just, you know, dealing with all of the things that happened in that game. And so it was really forged your friendship in a way that isn't forged in the same way as, like, yeah, just all hanging out in college classes.
Exactly. Yeah. It makes it a lot easier to deal with heavy themes with each other because we're all so comfortable. We know that in a moment's notice, and not that that doesn't happen in other games, you know, like on Off the Table, at least, you know, we're all about, you know, in a moment's notice using safety tools to step back. But it's even, and I mean, you and Ethan probably understand this, you guys are so close, that in a moment's notice, you could just step back, you know? You wouldn't have that fear of like, maybe being judged a little bit if something got to you in a certain way. So we don't have that fear that if something happens or, you know, we don't really have to worry about each other.
I wonder how much of it is about crying in front of each other, because there has been quite a lot of crying on Burning Wheel. and I think, I mean, I had the same experience when I was playing, you know, that first Mouse Guard game I played, and part of the reason that I feel so close to all of those guys is because there's something really, like, the vulnerability about being able to cry in front of a person and having that, I don't know, be nurtured and respected.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're crying about something that happens in a game, it's not super personal in the same way as, like, if you're crying in front of somebody about, you know, if your actual brother died versus if your game brother dies.
Yeah.
But the emotional bonds that form are kind of the same because it's the same kind of vulnerability you're showing to a person. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I always go back to, I think it was Ashley Johnson. I don't know the exact quote, but when she was talking about Critical Role ending, the first season ending, she's like, yeah, those things that happened, they were fake. You know, we played them out. But the emotions that we had and the experiences that we had with each other at that table, those are real. So I always go back to that, like, just what you're saying, like, everything you're experiencing at that table is 100% real, even though you're playing out these characters. What you're feeling, it's still valid. And so having people there to validate those feelings, it builds a really deep friendship.
Yeah, and when you play dramatic games, you're more likely to experience a wider breadth of feelings and probably get to know a person faster that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely do. And it's just, like you said, it's forged our friendship. And it's just like, we may not, you know, have the chance to play games as much or talk as much as we used to, but when we do, it picks up like nothing's ever changed, because we all still care about each other so much. It's just a very deep relationship.
Some of my favorite pre-show rambles that you guys do would be like when you were gone for a month and you like jump right into some really awful goofs.
Yep.
Because it had built up.
Yep. And that's when we actually only play for an hour, because we have an hour and a half pre-show that goes forever and ever of just us being goofs.
Yeah.
But those are the best. I think that's when you really see our friendship shine through. You see it in the moments where we're crying and when we have to take a break. And then you see it in the pre-show goofs. I think you can see it shine through. And I think that's one of the most valuable things that I've gotten out of Burning Wheel and out of Tabled Hearts. It's another chance to play with these people that I love so much. And I think you can hear that come through in anything we do. I think you can hear just the love we have for each other. And I think it makes a good show.
Yeah. Gosh. Okay. I have kind of a weird one that also might be too personal. But also might be very fast, because I kind of already know the answer. But, like, one of the things that freaks people out a lot about the Monster Heart system, because we haven't talked too much about the Monster Heart system, is that it is inherently sexual. The sexuality is written into the mechanics. And I've talked to a few people who kind of say, oh, it would be really weird to play that kind of game with my friends because all of a sudden I have to roll to turn on my pal Joe, who I've known for so many years. And, I mean, you guys have played Monster Hearts before. You and Summer are just, you know,
have characters that bone in every game.
Yeah. So, is it weird? I mean, obviously the answer is no, but I guess the question is, why is it not weird, or was it weird all of a sudden having to make those roles with somebody like Steven, who is, you do that with less?
Nah. Nah. Okay, so I have two answers for this. Personally, no, that's not weird for me. But, and I think that just goes back to the whole comfortable thing. I trust those three people with my life, with my games. You know, I don't have any worry about that. But also, speaking on the Monster Heart system, even though it has sex moves, even though it has, you know, a role to turn someone on, it doesn't inherently have to be sexual. That's something I try to tell people when they want to get into a game, because I emcee a game over on twitch.tv/Scraticus. I emcee a game of Monster Hearts, and it was something when we were trying to get people to sign up, it worried a lot of people. You know, like, how am I supposed to do this? This is very awkward, Scrat has said it was one of the hardest games he had to get people to sign up for. People would show interest, but then get, you know, the primer or the book and then drop.
Yeah, because when you look at a playbook and you see sex move exactly right there on the skin, and you're like, well,
if you're not a sick freak like me, you don't go, oh, I want to play this game. I get that. I 100% get people who would not get that. But if you roll high enough on sex moves, you don't have to do anything sexual. You can give yourself to them, yes, 100%. But you can also act awkwardly. You can also just make them a promise of something. And it doesn't have to be sexual. It can be just intimate. And I think there's a lot of things that people forget that are intimate. You know, just being close to a friend can be intimate. It doesn't have to be inherently sexual. So roll to turn someone on, it can be many different things. It doesn't have to be inherently sexual. I mean, you can have intimacy between people who aren't intending to be sexual. And Monster Hearts 2 is very good about, Avery included a rule for asexuality, which has the option to shut someone down.
Yeah.
Which is very smart.
And that's actually what I was going to bring up, was that, under the heading is asexuality, but the rule itself talks about, you know, if you've experienced trauma in your life, or if the character, or just in that situation, because the rule says if your character cannot be turned on in that situation.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of times where something that might usually turn you on won't turn you on.
Exactly.
I think Monster Hearts is good at allowing people to explore those issues of sexuality and how that might work in play, while giving people lots of control and lots of room to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think all of them have to be sex move. Like, I remember the Faye quote-unquote sex move just talks about being naked with somebody.
Exactly. And it doesn't have a sort of a downside where, like, so the mortal sex move is that if they have sex with someone, the other person becomes their darkest self. The fae is, I believe, they get a promise.
Yeah, they make a promise.
The witch is you just get a sympathetic token, which is sort of like a string. I mean, some of them vary in greatness of what, you know, their pros and cons are for the sex moves. And I think that's a good, you know, a good symbolism on life and having sex, as you know, especially someone dealing with your sexuality as a young person.
Mm-hmm.
It's complicated. It's probably going to be a little, you know, weird at first. So I think that's really great, especially if you're a queer teenager. I mean, figuring out my sexuality was not the easiest thing. So
yeah,
I get that.
What I like about the difference of sex moves is that, you know, some of the sex moves don't say when you have sex, some of them do, but it allows you, as a player, if you're unsure about it, to pick a playbook that is maybe, you know, like maybe you don't want to explore all of that stuff. So maybe you choose something where, you know, the Fae, where it's if you just are naked with another person and there are other reasons to be unclothed with a person or different definitions of what having sex means
exactly
to you and your character. So I think there's,
it's the hollow that's like if it's good for both of you then you both get an XP or something, like that's really good. I mean, it doesn't always have to be bad. I totally agree with you, Lauren.
Yeah. So I think it is an interesting game. I mean, it's too, yeah, that gives people a lot more control, and it's not just about, like, you know, boning down, to use a more vulgar term, unless.
How dare you? That's not vulgar. That's regular language.
Yeah, it's not about just, like, you know, having crazy monkey sex all the time, unless you want it to be.
Exactly.
Unless everybody wants it to be about having crazy monkey sex all the time. But you don't actually have to have sex at all in Monster Hearts, and I think you could still have a good Monster Heart game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, in my game on Scraticus's channel, there's been a couple of moves to turn someone on, but it has been inherently innocent. It hasn't been anything, you know, that's over the top. And I mean, we went the whole first season of Monster Hearts on off the table without, I think we had one sex move with an NPC, but there wasn't any PC sex moves until like the last session, I believe. So it was, I mean, like, it can go either way.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I guess. Monster Hearts, check it out, ? I lost all of my steam there. Wow.
It makes sense if it's not a system. Like, I don't think it's going to be a system for everybody, but I don't think it's worth writing off immediately.
Yeah.
No, definitely don't write it off.
Okay, I'm actually in that camp where, like, I think I'd be interested in playing it, but I do have reservations, right? I would need the right group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to do with Monster Hearts. You need the right group.
Yeah. It's it's a very, you need to know the other players and their styles and.
Mm-hmm. Or have players that are versatile enough with your style.
Right.
You know, to go either way.
It's definitely a very heavy communication game. Like, before, yeah, in your session zero, you need everyone to be on the same page.
Mm-hmm. You need to really stick to a lines and veils document. You need to really take, I mean, even in the book, it takes use of safety tools. There's a whole section of safety tools. That's what you really need to focus on, because it can get really heavy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the safety tools that I've been reading about more recently is the script change safety tool, which kind of sets everything up as like a movie. So you do a rating and you do, but one of the things that I really like is the idea of moving from like minute to minute, like going in slow motion. And that's for situations where you're like, this could be really uncomfortable for me. So let's take it really, really slowly and navigate this so that we're all comfortable with it, which I think is really important, especially in a game like Monster Hearts, especially if you're playing with somebody who is, you know, interested in the system but hesitant about some of the more sexual aspects of the game.
And it's completely valid to be hesitant about the sexual aspects.
Yeah.
Not everyone is comfortable enough with, like, being a massive flirt with their friends, like I am, or Summer is, or Dingo is, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not everyone is like that, and that's 100% okay. You can play Monster Hearts without that aspect, and it would still be a fulfilling game.
Yeah, because there's a lot more to being a teenager than sex. But sex gets a lot of screen time, I think.
Exactly!
And I think that's the way that people view Monster Hearts too, is that there's a lot more to Monster Hearts than the sex, but like Monster Hearts, I think, is one of really revolutionized the way that we talk about sex in games. And so people are like, oh yeah, Monster Hearts the sex game, and it's not.
it really isn't. I mean, like, I tell everybody, you know, those, I say it, I've said it already here, but I'll say it again, you know, roll to turn someone on, don't have to actually turn them on.
Yeah.
And I like in Urban Shadows, because I'm playing in a game of that, the intimacy move, it can be physical or, you know, non-physical intimacy. You can do that in Monster Hearts too.
And the roll to turn someone on move is really interesting, because you might not have control over whether or not you are turned on unless you trigger the move where you can't be turned on. But that happens, you know, in life, especially as a teenager, people getting turned on by random things without a understanding why, but you don't have to act on it in a sexual way.
I think that's the important part right there. You don't have to act on it sexually.
You're always given a choice because you don't get to choose whether or not you're turned on, but you get to choose how you react to that, which I think is a really important distinction to make when we're talking about this stuff and sexual games, is that you always have the agency as the player to, you're never going to be forced into an uncomfortable situation.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And like Ethan says, going back, if you have a good group that you trust, you won't be forced into an uncomfortable situation. Or if you are uncomfortable, you can flip it and go back. You can take a moment, you know, and I think that goes back to Monster Hearts. I think every game, every RPG game you play needs communication. I think Monster Hearts desperately needs communication. You cannot play Monster Hearts without communication.
Yeah.
So fill in the blank.
Oh no.
If you like blank, you'll like Tabled Hearts.
If you like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, if you like Jennifer's Body, if you like any kind of over the top teen drama.
Twilight. We have to bring it up. That's why Monster Hearts was invented.
That is 100% why the strings of Monster Hearts was invented. That is what Avery Adler said, and I If you like Twilight, you'll probably like Tabled Hearts. Unfortunately.
So much pain in that sentence.
So much. God, it hurt to say. You guys have no idea.
Summer is cheering right now. Well, she really is. So if I want to check out Tabled Hearts, how do I do that?
You can go to off-thetable.com. There is a link to our SoundCloud there where we have the episodes uploaded, and they are uploaded mostly every Saturday unless we get into a little backlog or, you know, something comes up. But every Saturday you will find a new episode. And you can follow us on Twitter, off_thetable on Twitter. And I post about when new episodes are released.
Yeah. And I think there's an RSS feed in the works, so you should be able to subscribe to that via RSS soon, because I was helping Summer with that. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Katie.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
If people want to talk to you, join your fan club, how do they do that?
Yeah, you can follow me on my personal Twitter at KatieFace. It's KatyFaise. And I have been told that people thought it was Katie Fasse.
Fasse.
Katie Fasse. Katie I'm Fasse. Not that fancy, but I do love that. You can follow me there. I have a schedule up. I do a lot of games in various places. A lot of it is on Off the Table, which I'd love if you check them out and give them a follow. It's a passion project, you know, that I'm involved with. I really love it. But you can also, I have a Patreon where I'm running games for people. It's like a dream come true to run games for people. So you can patronize me there. That's such a weird word. Don't, I hate
that's
it.
That's not great. You can become you can become a patron on Patreon.
Yes, on Patreon for me. But yeah, at a certain tier, I'll run you a one-shot once a month or make a campaign for you. So any excuse for me to play games, man. Talk to me about games on Twitter. I love it. I love it so much, just hearing about your experiences in games.
Awesome. All right. Well, I hope people do that because Katie's a great person to talk to about games.
Oh, thanks. Thank you for having me. It was great. I had so much fun. I just like talking to you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice to just like hang out. Thank you to Katie and the cast of Tabled Hearts for sharing your friendship, Jeff for arranging the music, and you, the audience. We really hope you enjoyed this episode.
If you did enjoy this episode or have a creator in mind that we should contact for future episodes, you can tweet us at TooManyRPGs, or you can contact Lauren at JL_NiceGirl.
Or Ethan at SuperRobotBear. If you like this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcatcher and recommend us to your friends. It really helps us spread the show to new people.
With Too Many RPGs around, we'll help you find the ones best for you. Sound effects!